Book Notes, Fall 2007, Volume 3, Issue 2. Book Notes, ISSN 1554-3609, is published twice per year by the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, 20 Park Street, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301-6314. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Reproduction in whole or in part without permission is prohibited. http://www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter. Inside this issue, New Hampshire Books Column, page 2, The Frost Place, page 3, New Hampshire Antiquarian Book Association, page 3. Impact Dublin Award, page 4. Award Notes, page 4. New Hampshire Literary Awards, page 5. Big Read, The Joy Luck Club, page 5. The Poetry Place, page 6. Ladybug Picture Book Award, page 7. One Book, One Campus, page 9. Charles Simic, Poet Laureate, page 12. This newsletter contains 12 pages. The Big Read, New Hampshire Reads Fahrenheit 451, by Mary A. Russell, Director, New Hampshire Center for the Book. The Big Read is an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts, in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services, and in cooperation with Arts Midwest. It is designed to revitalize the role of literary reading in American popular culture. Reading at Risk, a survey of literary reading in America, a 2004 NEA report identified a critical decline in reading for pleasure among American adults. The Big Read aims to address this issue directly by providing citizens with the opportunity to read and discuss a single book within their communities. According to Dana Gioia, chairman of the NEA, quote, "The purpose of the Big Read, like the purpose of literature itself, is pleasure. Not necessarily an easy pleasure, but a deliciously rich and complex one. A great book combines enlightenment with enchantment. It awakens our imagination and enlarges our humanity. It can even offer harrowing insights that somehow console and comfort us. The prospect of an America where only a few people share a love of reading is just too lonely to bear. Even if statistics didn't show that readers are more active in their own communities and more engaged in their own lives, the act of reading would still be an indispensable part of what makes us fully human." End quote. Nearly 200 organizations nationwide, including two in New Hampshire, will participate in the Big Read for 2007. Communities participating in 2007 were able to choose one of 12 classic American novels for their program. The Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library chose to focus our statewide Big Read program on Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. This classic novel describes one man's journey toward knowledge in a futuristic society where people stopped reading books long ago, and now the firemen burn any remaining books to protect people who might be troubled by the ideas those books contain. Really, the book burning is best for everyone, as Fire Chief Beatty explains, quote, "If you don't want a man unhappy politically, don't give him two sides to a question to worry him. Give him one. Better yet, give him none. Let him forget there is such a thing as war. If the government is inefficient, top-heavy, and tax-mad, better it be all those than that people worry over it," end quote. Page 61. What book could be a better choice for a program designed to turn the tide on the decline of reading? New Hampshire Commissioner of Cultural Resources Van McLeod is an enthusiastic supporter of this project. Quote, "Being a small state, we have the ability to have a true conversation about any topic, whether it is politics as part of our First in the Nation primary or talking about a book as part of the Big Read. Our tradition of community and the wealth of culture make it obvious that we should be part of this national conversation about the importance of books," end quote. Kristen Vermilier Harbaugh, Communications and Event Coordinator for the New Hampshire Department of Cultural Resources, is serving as the promotion coordinator for this project. The New Hampshire Humanities Council, NHCC, has been a partner in planning this statewide project from the beginning. Quote, the Big Read model of broad community involvement in reading and discussion fits the Humanities Council's mission perfectly, end quote, explains Executive Director Deborah Watrous. Quote, when the NEA announced Fahrenheit 451 as one of this year's selections, we were thrilled. That was a title we were already planning to include in our year-long statewide book discussion program on speculative fiction. And what a great book for library-based discussions. It's startling that Bradbury wrote this book in 1953, when television wasn't yet a ubiquitous presence in our lives, and the Internet wasn't even imagined. His warnings about mass media thought control and the peril of losing access to knowledge resonate powerfully today. End quote. More than 60 libraries, schools, and bookstores from throughout the Granite State will participate in The Big Read, New Hampshire Reads Fahrenheit 451, by holding book discussions, showing films, putting together exhibits, and hosting NHHC Humanities to Go programs on topics relating to the role of government in our lives. Thanks to the Big Read grant, participating libraries and schools will receive free copies of Fahrenheit 451 to distribute to their reading groups. When the project is over, we hope to pass on many of the copies to local schools that read this book as part of their curriculum. There will also be some copies wandering around the state. These copies of the book will be packaged with information about the Big Read and an invitation to come to the website and let us know where you found the book. Among the programs planned for our Big Read are two that were put together by the New Hampshire Humanities Council. One Mother, Two Fathers, The History of Science Fiction, is a discussion by author Gene Kavalos of the influences that gave birth to science fiction and how the genre has grown from its founders to what it is today and is being held at and supported by the Krista McAuliffe Planetarium in Concord on Friday, October 5th. Media and the Soul of the Citizen, a panel discussion co-sponsored by the Portsmouth Public Library, will be held on October 30th at 7 p.m. Other supporters of our project include New Hampshire Public Radio's The Exchange, which will do a program focused on our book during the second week of October, and The Snob, somewhat north of Boston, Film Festival, which will be held in Concord November 9th through 11th, and will include a competition asking filmmakers to create a short film based on any of the themes presented in Fahrenheit 451. According to Kristen Vermilier Harbaugh, quote, partnering with the New Hampshire Center for the Book and the Big Read is a great way for SNOB to continue to expand and to challenge its audience with new concepts of and relationships between film, literature, and art, end quote. In addition to being our promotions coordinator, Kristen is the co-chair of the 2007 SNOB Film Festival. Toward the end of Fahrenheit 451, the main character finds a group of men who have formed a loosely organized rebellion to save books. The rebels save books that represented, quote, bits and pieces of history and literature and international law. Each man had a book he wanted to remember and did, end quote. Inspired by this idea, we began asking earlier this year, what book would you save from the flames? We have received numerous responses, some predictable, some inspired, all interesting, and all posted on our website at http://bigreadnh.blogspot.com. There will be lots of programs and discussions, some live and some virtual, going on here in the Granite State in October. I hope you will read or reread Fahrenheit 451 and then get out and discuss it with your friends, neighbors, coworkers, family, anyone you happen to run into. Visit our website to find out when and where people will be gathering to talk about this book. And if you should happen to find a copy of the novel wandering through your community, be sure to visit our website and let us know about it. The Big Read, New Hampshire Reads Fahrenheit 451, participants. Aaron Cutler Memorial Library, Abbott Library, Barnes & Noble, Manchester, Newington, Salem, Barrington Public Library, Baker Free Library, Bayswater Book Company, Borders Books, West Lebanon, Canaan Town Library, Chesley Memorial Library, Chester Public Library, Colby Memorial Library, Dunbar Free Library, Dunbarton Public Library, Derry Public Library, Durham Public Library, East Kingston Library, Exeter Public Library, Frost Free Library, Guilford Public Library, Gibson's Bookstore, Hampton Falls Free Library, Hills Memorial Library, Howe Library, Innisfree Bookshops, Keene Public Library, Kelly Library, Leech Library, Lincoln Public Library, Medbury Library, Main Street Bookends, Manchester City Library, Minot Sleeper Library, Morgan Hill Bookstore, Nesmith Library, Orford Social Library, Pease Public Library, Peterborough Town Library, Philip Reed Memorial Library, Pillsbury Free Library, Plastow Public Library, Portsmouth Public Library, Richards Free Library, Rye Public Library, Samuel H. Wentworth Library, Sandown Public Library, Silsby Free Public Library, Summersworth Public Library, Talking Books Plus, Tilton School, Toadstool Bookshops, Keene, Milford, Peterborough, Tracy Memorial Library, Village Bookstore, Water Street Bookstore, Ware Public Library, Weeks Public Library, Wigan Memorial Library, Wolfboro Public Library. New Hampshire Books by Donna Gilbreth. As I sit here in my non-air-conditioned office on a hot July day, I'm dreaming about cool fall days when I can again fire up my oven and do some real cooking. My gas grill is great for surviving these hot summer days, but I'm really more of a baking-type person. I'm at my happiest when cold weather keeps me inside, and I have an excuse to bake some cookies. So I'm pretty excited when a new cookbook arrives at the State Library, and I can scour it for recipes. As a true librarian, I keep my recipes organized in a small antique oak library card catalog. We don't buy any old cookbooks here, just those with a New Hampshire connection. Luckily, there are many New Hampshire-related cookbooks coming along to keep me happy and feed my recipe-collecting habit. In this column, I have highlighted some of the more recent cookbooks that have been added to the State Library collection. They are great reading and hopefully will lead to some great eating. It will be cooler weather by the time you read this column, so go ahead and borrow the books from us and try out some new cooking pleasures. Brody, Helen. New Hampshire, From Farm to Kitchen. New York, New York. Hippocrene Books, 2004. Helen Brody has been a food feature writer in New England for over 25 years. This unique book profiles 30 New Hampshire farms and their products and provides 118 recipes that use some of our state's agricultural products. Brody selected farms that are still working farms, often in the same family for generations. She also made sure she highlighted a variety of crops and farms from all geographic areas of the state. One of my favorite stops after work is included, the Apple Hill Farm in Concord. Each chapter is on a different food, such as cheese, maple and honey, vegetables, etc. The chapter on cheese includes an essay on the status of cheesemaking in New Hampshire and a profile of Boggy Meadow Farm in Walpole, where a former Wall Street banker took over the family farm and diversified into creating award-winning Swiss cheeses. And, of course, the chapter ends with many delicious recipes, like leek and goat cheese tart, using a variety of cheeses. Esposito, Mary Ann. Ciao Italia Pronto, 30-minute recipes from an Italian kitchen. New York, New York, St. Martin's Press, 2005. Most of you have probably seen Esposito's New Hampshire Public Television cooking show or read one of her several cookbooks. She has been cooking great Italian food on television for over 15 years now. This book really appealed to me since I not only love Italian food, but also enjoy simple and fast meals for work days. Esposito, a Durham resident, starts out with a list of essential ingredients for your pantry. Then she proceeds to over 80 recipes and several suggested menus. How can you go wrong with zuppa di pollo fine settimana, chicken soup using a store-bought rotisserie chicken? General Federation of Women's Clubs, New Hampshire. Once upon a time, Recipes and Remembrances of New Hampshire's Old Man of the Mountain. Memphis, Tennessee, Wimmer Cookbooks, 2006. This group has a long history of supporting and promoting the Old Man of the Mountain. In the late 1920s, the New Hampshire Federation of Women's Clubs was instrumental in raising $100,000 towards the purchase of the forest land surrounding the Old Man. In the mid-1980s, they again helped raise money to establish a museum of Old Man artifacts and memorabilia. This current cookbook project is to benefit the Old Man of the Mountain Legacy Fund to create a lasting memorial to the fallen Old Man. Members from around the state contributed hundreds of favorite recipes and remembrances of visiting the Old Man of the Mountain. Landis, Denise, Dinner for Eight, 40 Great Dinner Party Menus for Friends and Family, New York, St. Martin's Press, 2005. Landis, an Exeter resident, is a longtime recipe tester for the New York Times. That sounds like a dream job to me. As a New Hampshire resident and mother of three, she also brings a realistic approach to the menus in this book. Many recipes are easy to recreate in New York City, where you can find just about any food ingredient. But shopping in New Hampshire can be a bit more challenging. And for the entertaining challenged, she provides not only an appetizer to dessert menu, but includes suggested wines and beverages. Recipes range from civil family favorites like baked stuffed clams to contributions from famous chefs like Nigella Lawson. There are many helpful hints on preparation and how to create dishes in advance of a dinner party. Marion Dawn, Legendary Cooks, Recipes from Five Generations of New Hampshire Cooks, Warner, New Hampshire, New Hampshire Trillium Books, 2002. Here is a little family history, a lot of family recipes, and some lovely artwork tying it all together. Artist and illustrator Marion was born and raised in Center Ossipee, surrounded by several generations of family. She has gathered together treasured recipes and included many of her charming illustrations and old family photos. Everyday homestyle recipes, like New England fish chowder, are interspersed with the author's more international choices, like mushroom and cabbage pierogi. Sterna, Joan, Good Food Simply Prepared, a collection of recipes from three generations of the Sterna family, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Peter E. Randall, Publisher, 2005. Sterna is a trained chef and teacher living in Brentwood. The story begins with her grandparents, immigrants from Belarusia and Poland, who came to Nashua in the early 1900s to work in the mills. The author shares many of their ethnic recipes, like schladnik and babka. In the next section, she highlights many of the post-World War II meals popular with her parents and many others in that era. Remember Swiss steak, anyone? Finally, the author's own contributions range from the simple favorites of her youth to more exotic creations from her days as a professional chef. San Francisco cheesecake sounds like a keeper to me. The book is illustrated by another New Hampshire resident, Sheila Lemieux of Danville. New Hampshire's Literary Community, The Frost Place, A North Country Home for Poetry, by Jim Schley, Executive Director. The Frost Place is a museum and poetry center based at Robert Frost's homestead in Franconia, New Hampshire, a historic and literary landmark of international significance, as Frost's work is more popular and influential than ever, despite the passage of time. Frost and his family lived in Franconia full-time from 1915 to 1920, then spent summers through 1938, and in 1976, when the property came up for sale, the town of Franconia voted at town meeting to purchase the house and grounds and establish not only a museum to memorialize the poet, but also a center to foster the ongoing writing and teaching of poetry. Since 1977, each summer a contemporary poet has been awarded a residency to live and work at the Frost Place, and since 1979 there has been an annual festival and conference of poetry, one of America's most revered gatherings of writers. In recent years, Frost Place offerings have expanded to include an annual Young Poets Conference, the Conference on Poetry and Teaching, and a seminar for advanced writers, as well as ongoing community and school-based educational programs. In addition to literary conferences and programs, the Frost Place welcomes visitors every summer to tour the simple but beautiful and informative museum rooms where Frost's study, with his chair and manuscripts, letters, and inscribed first editions of his books, are on display. Instead of approaching Robert Frost and his work in scholarly or academic ways, the Frost Place's commitment to honoring Frost is expressed through creative and lively efforts to heighten our visitors' and conference participants' appreciation for poetry and its vast diversity, from the classics Frost loved to the work of adventurous contemporaries. The museum is open to the public for a voluntary donation from Memorial Day to Columbus Day, and draws thousands of tourists from throughout the U.S. and beyond. The free Frost Day event each July is especially intended to be an open house for the local and regional community. Robert Frost was one of the most prolific poets in American history, and the extended period of time he spent in New Hampshire was extraordinarily auspicious for him as a writer and a person. New Hampshire was not a refuge from the world, but a landscape and dynamic, albeit traditional, culture, where he was able to concentrate and explore his perceptions of life and refine his technical discoveries at a crucial period in his artistic development, and where he partook wholeheartedly of his genuine passions for botany, animal husbandry, orchard and garden work, and, most important, parenting and neighboring. While other states and regions also claim Frost, the longevity of his tenure in New Hampshire and the reciprocal devotion shown by the citizens of Franconia when they purchased his former home to save it from almost certain demolition gives the Granite State pride of place in Frost's complicated biography. Moreover, since its founding as a modern-day literary venue, the Frost Place has been a compelling and generative setting for countless contemporary poets, including many from New Hampshire. Present New Hampshire poet laureate Patricia Farnoli has called the Frost Place, quote, my spiritual home, end quote, and those who would agree are legion, including former New Hampshire poet laureate and recent United States poet laureate Donald Hall, who has said, quote, there is no other poetic institution in the United States that feels more consecrated to the poem itself, end quote. The Frost Place, a museum and poetry center, Post Office Box 74, Ridge Road, Franconia, New Hampshire, 03580, http://www.frostplace.org. New Hampshire Antiquarian Book Association, by Gary Crooker, NHABA member and fair director. If you love books, odds are you probably love old books. If you love old books, do we have an organization for you? Members of the New Hampshire Antiquarian Book Association, NHABA, have been active participants in the New Hampshire literary community for 36 years. With 60 dealer members blanketing the state, we look forward to expanding our role in conjunction with organizations such as the New Hampshire Center for the Book. The NHABA came into existence in 1971 when 13 dealers in used and rare books banded together for their own mutual benefit, as well as to inform the book-buying public about the nature of the used book business. A statewide brochure was brought out and is still printed yearly. Brochures are distributed at all member shops and major state rest areas. If you are looking for a dealer that specializes in your area of interest, or just in your area, these handy guides will help your search. Just a couple of years later, what has become the organization's most high-profile event came into being with the advent of the NHABA's annual book fair in 1973. The show was held at Concord's historic New Hampshire Highway Hotel until 1986, when the hotel was torn down. The event then jumped the river to the Everett Arena, where it has been going strong ever since. Dealers from all the New England states, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Canada gather annually to display their wares, taking place for the 33rd consecutive year on Sunday, September 23rd. The NHABA Fair is now the longest continuously running statewide event of its kind in the country. While buying and selling of books on the Internet has been a valuable tool for member booksellers for well over a decade now, the NHABA Fair gives the book-loving public a chance to see why the organization came into being. Either attending the fair or visiting one of our open shop members offers the following benefits. 1. Direct interaction with book aficionados who have made a life's work of knowing their trade. No matter where your reading or collecting interests lie, some members of the NHABA community will be of help. Specialties range from scholarly and technical books to cookbooks, children's literature, and everything else that has ever been written down. 2. You get to hold the book which interests you right in your own little hands. As I said, the Internet is a wonderful tool, but for those immersed in book culture, there is no substitute for the actual feel and smell and experience of the book. 3. Once you create a solid customer-dealer relationship, you will have another set of eyes and ears watching out for the books you seek. As well-versed as they are, most dealers will admit that they are often educated by their customers about different genres. Once they know what you are looking for, they are looking for it also. 4. Finally, you can connect with experts who really want to talk with you. Nowhere outside of the library will you find such informed book lovers as eager to discuss books, book collecting, reading, and just about any other aspect of book culture. The NHABA is made up of folks who spend their lives accumulating, collecting, handling, and dispersing old volumes. If you have the same interest yourself, or just wonder what makes these people tick, then pick up a brochure or visit the fair. As far as what does make lovers of old books tick, maybe in our own idealistic moments, we identify with the words Ray Bradbury put into the mouth of Montag in Fahrenheit 451. Quote, "Somewhere the saving and putting away had to begin, and someone had to do the saving and keeping, one way or another, in books, in records, in people's heads." End quote. Visit www.nhaba.org to learn more. Narrator's note, the newsletter contains on this page a coupon for the 33rd Annual New Hampshire Antiquarian Book Fair, Sunday, September 23rd, 2007, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Everett Arena, Concord, New Hampshire, exit 14 off Route 93, and notes that there are book signings by Nicholas Basbins, Mike Pride, Mark Travers, Peter Wallner, and Peter Randall. End narrator's note. Impact Dublin Literary Award by Charles Shipman, Chair, New Hampshire Dublin Committee. The New Hampshire State Library is proud to be a nominating library for the International Impact Dublin Literary Award, an annual literary prize initiated in 1996 by the City Council of Dublin, Ireland. Selected libraries from around the world participate by nominating novels of literary merit that are either written in English or translated into English within a given year. Although books must appear in English, the award is truly international, with libraries from over 80 nations participating in the nominating process, and winners have included translations from French, Turkish, Spanish, and German. The New Hampshire State Library Nominating Committee is made up of 15 librarians. Most are members of the state library staff, but there are public and academic librarians represented on the committee as well. Dublin Award nominees are expected to be of high literary merit, but what does that mean exactly? Our committee came up with a list of criteria to consider. We look for books that are emotionally and intellectually engaging, with well-developed characters and plot. We also want books that offer a fresh perspective or innovative themes that leave a lasting impact on the reader. And, of course, the writing must be of the highest quality. Last year, we nominated 3 books for the Dublin Prize: The Road by Cormac McCarthy, Zoli by Colm McCann, and Half of a Yellow Sun by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. These books are actually nominated for the 2008 Dublin Award because a panel of writers and literary academics must narrow all the nominees down to a long list, then a short list, then a final winner. In the meantime, we'll be scouring the publishing world for the next round of Dublin nominees. To find out more about the Impact Dublin Literary Award, or to suggest a book for consideration, please visit http://www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter/programs/imPAC.html. New Hampshire students are invited to enter Letters About Literature 2008, a writing competition that encourages you to read, be inspired, and write back. For details and entry coupons, visit www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter/programs/letters.html. Award notes. New Hampshire is home to several book awards, and details about each of them, including links to their websites, are included at www.nh.gov/nhsl/bookcenter/literacyc/awards.html. The Flume New Hampshire Teen Reader's Choice Award. Stephanie Meyer's Twilight captured the 2007 Flume Award. Sponsored by the New Hampshire Library Association, the Flume Award is given to a book that receives the most votes by New Hampshire students in grades 9 through 12. A critically acclaimed vampire romance story, Twilight beat out 12 other titles for the award. The 2008 Flume list, which will be voted on next April, is now available on the Flume website. Great Stone Face Award. The Great Stone Face Committee has announced the winner of the 2007 Great Stone Face Book Award for Children in grades 4 through 6. It is The Ghost's Grave by Peg Carrot. Runners-up were Magic by Angie Sage, Thunder from the Sea by Joan Hyatt Harlow, and The Dark Hills Divide by Patrick Carman. The new nominee list for 2008 is on the Chillis website. Hale Award. Richards Free Library announces that on October 27th at 4 p.m. at the Newport Opera House, renowned children's author and illustrator Tommy DePaola will add the 2007 Sarah Josepha Hale Award to his 1976 Caldecott Honor Award for Streganona and Newbery Honor Award in 2000 for 26 Fairmount Avenue. Isinglass Teen Read Award. The Isinglass Teen Read Award for 7th and 8th graders announced that Stephanie Meyer won the 2007 award with her book Twilight, a teen vampire story with a romantic twist. The new list for 2008 has been announced and can be found on the website. Students in grades 7 and 8 may suggest a book for the 2008-2009 cycle by sending an email to blibrary@metrocast.net with the author and title of the book they are recommending. All titles on the Isinglass list are from teen suggestions. New Hampshire Literary Awards Update. Nominations for the New Hampshire Writers Project 2007 New Hampshire Literary Awards are now in the hands of the judges. Outstanding works of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, children's literature, and journalism, as well as the Lifetime Achievement winner, will be announced this fall. The award ceremony, which includes a reception and presentations by award winners, is scheduled for November 17, 2007, at Southern New Hampshire University in Manchester. An afternoon of writing workshops with previous award winners will precede the reception. As part of the awards program, NHWP is excited to present for the first time the Donald M. Murray Outstanding Journalism Award in honor of Donald M. Murray, who died last December at the age of 82. A Pulitzer Prize winner, Murray inspired countless reporters and writers with his passion for writing and the writing life. He was a longtime member of the New Hampshire Writers Project, NHWP, and received the New Hampshire Literary Award for Lifetime Achievement in 2001. Quote, "He was always such a great supporter of the Writers Project," end quote, said George Gears, president of the NHWP Board of Trustees. Quote, "He had students across the country who are editors, writers, publishers, and they all turned to him," end quote. The New Hampshire Literary Awards, offered biennially since 1992, celebrate the remarkable literary talent in the Granite State. A cash prize of $500 is given to recipients of the Jane Kenyon Award for Outstanding Book of Poetry and the Donald M. Murray Outstanding Journalism Award. Seven New Hampshire towns will come together to read and celebrate Amy Tan's The Joy Luck Club by Amy LaPointe, Director, Amherst Town Library. Northeast Cultural Co-op, located in Amherst, New Hampshire, in partnership with the Amherst Town Library, the Friends of the Amherst Town Library, and libraries in Bedford, Brookline, Milford, Mount Vernon, New Boston, and Wilton, are pleased to announce that they have received a National Endowment for the Arts, NEA, grant to support the Big Read in those seven communities. The Big Read is an initiative of the National Endowment for the Arts, in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services and Arts Midwest. The group will use the program to promote literacy and cultural awareness in the region. In addition to being a fantastic read, the Joy Luck Club provides a springboard to discuss the importance of China's role in the international arena, the many issues surrounding the immigration experience, and the fascinating tenets of Chinese culture. When the book came out in 1989, it garnered both critical acclaim and commercial success. It was described by reviewers as elegant, poetic, imaginative, and moving. Tan's first novel continues to be a favorite amongst book groups. While the story is particularly resonant to women, themes of relationships between generations are applicable to all members of the family. One of the chapters of the book has even been adapted into a book for children titled The Moon Lady. This six-week series of public and school events will run through early November, after kicking off on the afternoon of Sunday, September 23rd at Sauhegan High School in Amherst with a special family event celebrating the traditional Chinese Moon Festival. The Moon Festival will include lion dancers, a theatrical presentation, Chinese food, and much more. Big Read programs will be held in various locations throughout the seven participating communities. All are welcome to attend. Not-to-be-missed events include a Chinese tea ceremony and tea plantation slideshow, a Chinese film series at the Wilton Town Hall Theater, a bus trip and curator-led tour of the Yin Yu Tang House at the Peabody Essex Museum, and a hands-on brush painting workshop. Other programs will include book discussions, lectures, arts and crafts from China, photographic exhibits, art exhibits, mahjong lessons, tai chi on the town commons, storytelling, music, Chinese cooking, and more. Watch for announcements on programs and check www.northeastculturalcoop.org or the websites of the seven libraries, as well as the website of the Big Read at www.neabigread.org for details on this exciting initiative. The Poetry Place, 10 Ways to Put Poetry in Your Life, by Patricia Farnoli, New Hampshire Poet Laureate. Too often people will tell me, "I never read poetry," or they'll tell some horror story about how in high school they were forced to analyze difficult poems. The result of this is that books of poetry don't sell well, usually under 1,000 copies. Poetry sections in many bookstores are small, and publishers are often reluctant to publish poetry. Yet when some crisis or major event in our lives occurs, it is often to poetry that we turn first, and poems take a central and rightful place at weddings, funerals, national crises such as 9/11, governmental inaugurations. As I've traveled around the state, I've been excited to learn that, in addition to the many reading venues, poetry workshops and poetry discussion groups are forming everywhere. People who don't write poetry themselves are reading it and discussing it, and doing so with great pleasure. Last winter, I had the opportunity to read and discuss my work with seniors in a lifelong learning class at New England College. Not only was I delighted to have such an intelligent and enthusiastic audience, but I was also happy when a member of the class came up to me afterward to tell me of a small poetry discussion group she belonged to that had formed among her friends. I also have, for several years now, been fortunate to teach a poetry reading and discussion lifelong learning course in poetry to adults over 52 at Keene State College. And I'm thrilled when a student who has seldom read poetry gets excited by a contemporary poet. And recently, my book was slated for discussion at a book club in my hometown, and I've been invited to attend and answer questions. However, much more needs to be done to bring an appreciation of poetry to everyone. And whether or not you are a practicing poet, you can help. Here are 10 suggestions. 1. Choose a book of poems by a contemporary poet. Read it cover to cover. 2. Invite a local poet to discuss his or her work at your club or organization. 3. Start a poetry book discussion group with a few of your friends. 4. Read poetry to children. 5. Take a course in poetry appreciation or writing poetry. 6. Attend a poetry reading. They are never boring and can be exciting. 7. Support the work of poets by buying their books. 8. Be a poetry ambassador in your community by planning and carrying out one poetry event a year. Be sure to include local poets in your plans. If you do this, tell me and I'll write about it here. 9. Read a poem every day. If you have a computer, make Poetry Daily or a similar site your home page and read the poem posted there every day, www.poems.com, to make this easy. 10. Explore the many websites devoted to poetry. On the Poetry Foundation site, you can even hear famous poets read their poems, www.poetryfoundation.org. Ellen Hinsey in Poetry Magazine, February 2003, wrote, quote, "No individual poem can stop a war. That's what diplomacy is supposed to do. But poetry is an independent ambassador for conscience. It answers to no one. It crosses borders without a passport. And it speaks the truth. That's why, despite talk about its marginalization, it is one of the most powerful of the arts." End quote. I would add, reading poetry is a joyful experience. It lifts us up. It connects us to all that it means to be an imperfect human living in an imperfect but also beautiful world. Ladybug Picture Book Award. This fall, the winner of the 5th Annual Ladybug Picture Book Award will be chosen. Over the past 5 years, I have been asked lots of questions about this New Hampshire Center for the Book project. Here are the answers to the most frequently asked questions. How are books nominated? A committee of children's librarians working in New Hampshire reads hundreds of picture books each year and meets each January to select 10 recent titles that they feel should be considered for that year's Ladybug Award. This committee is chaired by Ann Hoey, Youth Services Coordinator for the New Hampshire State Library. To be considered for nomination, a picture book must meet the following criteria: be published within the last 3 years, be in print, have either the book's author or illustrator from the U.S., possess strong child appeal, have artistic quality with text that supports the illustrations, not be a title previously nominated. In previous years, publishers have been invited to send their titles for consideration, but beginning with the 2007 award, only New Hampshire librarians may suggest titles for nomination. How is the winner chosen? In November, New Hampshire children from preschoolers to those in third grade vote for their favorite of the nominated titles. Many libraries, schools, including homeschools, and daycare centers are among the current voting sites. In previous years, many sites held their voting during Children's Book Week. Beginning in 2008, CBW will move to May, but Ladybug voting will stay in November to coincide with elections. What do the voting sites do? Let people in their community know that they are a voting site. Read the 10 nominated titles to the eligible voters, or have older kids read the books to them. Have the children vote for their favorites. There is a free picture ballot on our website that you can use, or a show of hands works well in many places. Count all the votes and record them on the tally sheet and send it to the address indicated on the top of the sheet by the deadline, November 30, 2007, this year. Because the selection of the winning book depends upon the total number of votes cast, it is important that voting sites report all the votes cast, not just which book got the most votes at their site. When is the winner announced? The winning picture book is announced by the end of December. Each year we receive thousands of votes, 17,027 last year, so it takes a little while to count them all. The publisher of the winning book is notified, and then the winner is announced on the New Hampshire Center for the Book blog, http://nhbookcenter.blogspot.com, and on our website. The author and illustrator of the winning book are contacted to let them know their book has won, and a crystal award for their book is commissioned from Pepe Herman Crystal. The actual award is sent, one to the author and one to the illustrator, if they are not the same person, in early spring. How is the Ladybug Award funded? We were able to launch the award thanks to a generous donation from Toadstool Bookshops. Since then, it has been funded through the sale of Ladybug stickers. There is an I Voted sticker available for $5 per 100, and a small square Ladybug sticker suitable for labeling nominated books available for $4 per 100. Order forms for the stickers are available on our website. All of the stickers feature our very own Ladybug, created by Lucy Albertson of the Bedford Public Library. 2007 nominees: Red Fox at McCluskey's Farm by Brian Hines and Chris Sheban. Duck and Goose by Tad Hills. Library Lion by Michelle Knudsen and Kevin Hawks. Not Afraid of Dogs by Susanna Pitzer and Larry Day. I Saw an Ant on the Railroad Track by Joshua Prince and Mackie Panmanton. Pip and Squeak by Ian Schoner. The Secret Science Project That Almost Ate the School by Judy Sierra and Stephen Gammel. The Trouble with Cauliflower by Jane Sutton and Jim Harris. The Remarkable Friendship of Mr. Cat and Mr. Rat by Rick Walton and Lisa McHugh. Moose Tracks by Karma Wilson and Jack E. Davis. Common Reading Programs Go to College, One Book, One Campus by Carrie Thomas, Library Director, Colby Sawyer College. As schools, bookstores, and public libraries in New Hampshire gear up for the statewide Big Read, various colleges and universities across the country are mailing books to incoming freshmen with instructions to read them before arriving on campus in the fall. The Academic Common Reading Program is a relatively young phenomenon. A study done at Gustavus Adolphus College, www.gustavus.edu/eacadems/library/pubs/lindell2007.html. Last fall, found that 61% of the programs they surveyed were less than 4 years old, but a handful, such as the ones at Skidmore College and UNC Chapel Hill, have been around for a decade or so. The reasons for this growing phenomenon are varied, but most campuses incorporate the common reading experience into their orientation program and use the opportunity to welcome students to the college experience. Some off-cited benefits are, quote, to develop a sense of community, end quote, or, quote, to ease the intellectual and emotional transition newcomers make when they arrive on campus, end quote, or, quote, to engage students early with a proactive discussion of challenging reading, end quote. Manti, J., Incoming Freshmen Get Summer Reading Assignments, U.S. News and World Report, posted 6707 at www.usnews.com/usnes/edu/articles/07067/7summer_print.htm. With that in mind, the programs often choose books that provide students with an opportunity to understand diverse perspectives and that contain issues students confront in daily news and popular culture, such as the Middle East, poverty, and social and environmental issues. Some of the more popular recent choices have been The Kite Runner by Husseini, The Things They Carried by O'Brien, Fast Food Nation by Schlosser, and Mountains Beyond Mountains by Kidder. While most campuses want to foster student-faculty interaction and try to find a book that will stir discussion, the University of North Carolina got more discussion than they had bargained for in 2003 when they picked another popular common read title, Nickel and Dimed on Not Getting By in America by Ehrenreich. A conservative student group with funding from a local foundation and support from some state legislators published newspaper ads and staged campus protests of the book's stances against capitalism and religion. O'Connor, E., Misreading What Reading is For, Chronicle of Higher Education, 52-9503. As with the community reading programs, it is hoped that reading the same book will bring students from varied backgrounds closer together and create common ground for discussion. Some colleges only use the book for small group discussions during orientation, while others require written essays, sponsor contests, hold cultural events such as films or exhibits tied to themes in the book, and host author visits. Some programs try to integrate the reading into the fall semester courses, which reinforces the ideas and may make the reading seem more relevant to the students, but requires a lot more faculty cooperation. Ferguson, M., Creating Common Ground, Peer Review, Summer 2006. Here in New Hampshire, some local colleges that are assigning a book this summer are Keene State College with Devil's Highway by Luis Alberto Urrea, Rivier College with March by Geraldine Brooks, and Colby Sawyer College with Outside Lies Magic by John Stilgo. Which book would you save from the flames? In his classic novel Fahrenheit 451, author Ray Bradbury created a futuristic society that burned books. The main character, Guy Montag, finds a group of men who have formed a loosely organized rebellion to save books. Their plan is to, quote, keep the knowledge we think we will need, end quote. The rebels save books that represented, quote, bits and pieces of history and literature and international law. Each man had a book he wanted to remember and did, end quote. If you lived in a society that burned books, what is an important book that you would want to save from the fire? We invite your responses as part of The Big Read, New Hampshire Reads Fahrenheit 451, a project of the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library in partnership with the New Hampshire Humanities Council. Tell us which book you would remember, which book you would save from the flames, and why. Send your response, in 100 words or less, to the New Hampshire Center for the Book, 20 Park Street, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301, or submit online at http://bigreadnh.blogspot.com. Please include your name, phone number, and city or town with your submission. Your contact information is for verification purposes and won't be shared with other organizations. All responses will be posted on the project webpage, and some will be published in various newsletters and publications. Charles Simic named U.S. Poet Laureate by Andrea Thorpe, Director, Richards Free Library. The Library of Congress has named Charles Simic Poet Laureate of the United States. This is the fifth time a New Hampshire poet has been named to the post, which has also been held by Robert Frost, Richard Eberhart, Maxine Cumin, and Donald Hall. Simic is Professor Emeritus of Creative Writing and Literature at the University of New Hampshire, where he has taught for 34 years. His awards include MacArthur, National Endowment for the Arts, and Guggenheim Fellowships, the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, the Sarah Josepha Hale Award, numerous other prizes for poetry, and the Penn International Award for Translation twice. Simic is the author of 18 books of poetry, a memoir, essays, and several translations. Simic will publish a new book of poetry, That Little Something, in February 2008. The Georgia Review has called him, quote, one of the wisest poets of his generation and one of the best, end quote. The Chicago Review describes Simic's work as, quote, some of the most strikingly original poetry of our time, end quote. On making the appointment, Librarian of Congress James Billington said, quote, the range of Charles Simic's imagination is evident in his stunning and unusual imagery. He handles language with the skill of a master craftsman, yet his poems are easily accessible, often meditative and surprising. He has given us a rich body of highly organized poetry with shades of darkness and flashes of ironic humor. End quote. A native of Yugoslavia, Simic came to this country as a teenager. Quote, I am especially touched and honored to be selected because I am an immigrant boy who didn't speak English until I was 15, end quote, he said. Simic's mastery of English has made his work as appealing to the literary community as it is to the general public. Mr. Simic lives in Stratford, New Hampshire, with his wife Helen. He will take up his duties in the fall, opening the Library of Congress's annual literary series on October 17th with a reading of his work. He also will be a featured speaker at the Library of Congress National Book Festival on Saturday, September 29th, 2007, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Narrator's note. Page 2 of this newsletter has a list of those connected with the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library. Mary A. Russell, Director, 603-271-2866. M. Russell, M-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, at library.state.nh.us. 2007 Advisory Board, Chair, Deborah Watrous, New Hampshire Humanities Council. Vice Chair, Becky Albert, New Hampshire Educational Media Association. Andrea Thorpe, New Hampshire Library Association. Van McLeod, New Hampshire Department of Cultural Resources. Dr. Lionel B. Tracy, New Hampshire Department of Education. Michael York, New Hampshire State Library. Barbara Yoder, New Hampshire Writers Project. Patricia Farnoli, Poet Laureate of New Hampshire. Carrie Thomas, Colby Sawyer College. Jackie Gardner, Chillis. Sally Jones, New Hampshire Library Trustees Association. Pat Frizella, Poetry Society of New Hampshire. Eleanor Strang, Urban Public Library Consortium. Willard Williams, Toadstool Bookshops. Katie McDonough, Kimball Public Library, Atkinson. Also, on page 8 of the newsletter is a form for contributions to support the Center for the Book at the NHSL. It asks for name, organization, mailing address, city, state, zip, and email. and lists these membership levels, noting that members receive book notes, the semi-annual newsletter. Supporter, $5 to $24. Friend, $25 to $99. Contributor, $100 to $499. Patron, $500 to $999. Benefactor, $1,000 and up. Check should be made payable to the Park Street Foundation, and you should note whether you're a personal or organization member. The Park Street Foundation serves as the fiscal agent of the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library and is a tax-exempt 501c3 organization. Your contribution is tax-deductible to the extent allowed by law. The address, Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, 20 Park Street, Concord, New Hampshire, 03301. End narrator's note. End book notes. Narrated by David Harris for the Center for the Book at the New Hampshire State Library, October 2007.